18. An arrow strikes its target. That same morning, Oscar Featherstone awakened earlier than usual. He left his dreams behind, opened his eyes, and sat up. He blinked several times, removed his nightcap, and got out of bed. His body ached as though he'd been running for hours. As he removed his nightclothes, he noticed that his trousers, which were hanging on a chair, were spattered with sludge. There was a strong smell of sewage in the air. Having been cursed with a weak constitution, he waited for the inevitable bile to surge up his throat. Nothing happened. Not even a cough. He chose another pair of trousers, his favourite shirt, and one of his many vests. It was odd to be getting dressed, since he would normally lounge throughout the morning in his robe and nightclothes, then dress in the afternoon. Nonetheless, he shrugged on his frock coat and selected a top hat. As he slipped on his shoes, he had an inkling that something was wrong. He thought back to last evening's meeting of the Young Londoners Exploratory Society. The details were fuzzy. In any case, nothing to bother about, he told himself. It was probably a particularly lively argument over the lifespan of beetles. He and Prince Albert would often have long discussions into the night over such matters. He ran a gold filigreed ivory comb through his hair, and felt some satisfaction when it straightened with a slight curl above his ears. He wasn't too modest to recognize that he was handsome. He was the son of a lord, after all. At dances, he was very popular. He carried his hat through the doorway to avoid bashing it on the top of the frame. There was an itch on the side of his neck, but he couldn't make himself scratch it. How peculiar. Oscar walked down the hallway, a continuous row of windows to his left. Outside it was misty, so he couldn't see London. He felt the chill leaking through the windows. Far too cold to go outside. As he had no plans for the day, he would have Wells bring the Times to the study so he could read it while sipping his tea. The Illustrated London News was also delivered today. He would spend the whole morning reading. First, he would have Cook prepare a boiled egg and toasted bread. He was surprised when he turned away from the kitchen, walked into his father's study, and went straight to the desk. He hadn't planned on doing that. His fingers found a key hanging under the desktop. His hand unlocked the third drawer down and withdrew his father's pearl-handled vest-pocket pistol, a tiny death dealer that fired a single .22 caliber bullet. Oscar's mind had become a flurry of thoughts, flapping around like a flock of pigeons, but this had no effect on his actions. He pocketed the pistol. Within moments, he was outside the house. He felt the door as he closed it, and the impact of his feet on the cobblestone path as he walked toward the stables. He was no longer making choices. It was as though his body was moving on its own. He willed his feet to stop, but his legs rose and fell regardless. The crisp air bit his skin. He tried to lift his arms, but they remained rigid at his sides. At the stable, a voice called out, resonating in his ears. "Stafford, I must go to the Parliament Buildings." The voice was familiar and so close. Was there someone following him? He couldn't turn his head. "Quickly, if you will." He felt his mouth move, his lips form each syllable. It was his own voice, but the words were not his.
"Right at it, my lord,"
Stafford, the footman, said. And shortly the carriage was ready, the black horses chugging out plumes of frosty breath. The carriage stopped beside Oscar, and he waited as Stafford got down and opened the door. All the while, Oscar had been screaming inside his head, "Stafford! Stafford, it's me! It's me! Stop what you're doing!" But his lips would not cooperate, and Oscar climbed silently into the carriage. He rode along, his arms crossed. He heard the voice muttering, "The symbols must fall. The clockwork guild sees all." The carriage rattled on. Oscar was bewildered. He was a rider both in the carriage and in his own body. No matter how many times he commanded his hands to open the door or his mouth to call out, nothing happened. His heartbeat was regular and he wasn't sweating. The panic, he felt, was all in his head. He took a sheet of paper from the breast pocket of his coat It had an odd yet familiar insignia, a clockwork inside a triangle. He wrote down 7 words. The game begins. The forgotten shall rise. He had no idea what it meant. What had happened the night before? It had been a normal meeting, as far as he could remember, but now he did recall being guided down a long corridor sloshing with sewage and, later, being offered a drink. He had refused it, but then he had taken it. Why? The liquid had been familiar. He had tasted it before. The carriage stopped on the concourse to the Parliament buildings, and Stafford opened the door. Oscar climbed out, looked left and right. The sun was peeping through the mist. There were clerks bustling about on errands, solicitors waiting for clients, even a few common folk, and several royal guards. They recognized him. Oscar nodded to one and strode past them into the building. His father's secretary, Mr. Ackroyd, was in the office sitting behind a mahogany desk piled with neat stacks of paper.
"Young Mr. Featherstone, to what do we owe this pleasure?"
he asked, his pen poised over a document.
"I must see my father," the voice said through Oscar's mouth.
"Well, he's in a meeting. He shall be finished in a few minutes.
It is a matter of utmost importance."
"And what sort of matter, your lordship?"
"A private one."
Mr. Ackroyd nodded.
"Then I shall inform him at once and see whether he can break away from his meeting. Dignitaries from the Fanti are visiting. Please wait here."
Oscar waited as Mr. Ackroyd slowly climbed a set of stairs. He wanted to yell out, "I'm an imposter! An imposter!" Instead, he twiddled his thumbs and there was an odd noise in his ears. Humming. He was humming. He felt pain in his left thumb. A few moments later, he looked down and saw that he had carved bloody lines into it with his fingernail. His other hand withdrew his handkerchief and wrapped up the cuts. As though he were looking back through a thin gauze, the cuts triggered images from the previous night. He had met a woman, a very beautiful woman, and a doctor, whom the woman had proclaimed as one of the most brilliant chemical minds of the century. Oscar had hesitated at this. He hadn't recognized the man's name. The doctor had offered him the elixir. After he'd drank it, the woman had spoken to him, but he felt he wasn't the only one hearing the message. And now he was here, waiting for his father, interrupting a meeting that, since Ackroyd had mentioned the Fanti, must have to do with South Africa.
"Oscar!"
His father was stamping down the set of winding stairs, his eyes blazing. His broad shoulders stretched the fabric of his suit. He used a walking stick, supporting the leg that had been damaged in Crimea.
"Why are you here?"
"Father."
Oscar was amazed at how hollow his voice sounded.
"Father, something very serious has happened."
At this, Lord Featherstone raised an eyebrow.
"What is it?"
"We must talk alone."
He glanced over at Mr. Ackroyd, who had returned to his desk.
"Fine. Come, come."
His father led him up the stairs that wound past a window and to the next floor. The sun lit the stained glass, the shadows making his father look as stern as ever.
"This had better be important. I have work to do. You know that."
"Wait, father."
His father stopped.
"You've injured your hand."
"It's a trifle, compared to what awaits our enemies."
"Our enemies? What are you at now, son?"
"We will strike them right through the heart."
"Oscar, what is this prattle? Are you yourself?"
"No,"
Oscar shouted in his head,
"I am not myself."
But his mouth wouldn't budge. His father was framed by the large glass window.
"This is for the Clockwork Guild."
Oscar pulled the pistol from his pocket and pointed it at his father.
"Oscar, this is a very stupid joke."
"This is for the future."
He pulled the trigger. A click followed. Click, click, click. His father roared,
"What madness is this?"
Oscar was much smaller than his father, but he launched himself at him, batted his father's walking stick aside, and wrapped him up in his arms.
The Lord's bad leg collapsed, and he fell backward into the window. Oscar could only scream in his head as he clutched his father and fell 3 stories to the ground.